Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. I want to say Merry Christmas to you guys. I don't know why. It just is like, it's too soon, but, you know, it's like, it's already there, you know. Merry Christmas. Not yet. Close. And Matthew chapter 7. I want to say thank you to you guys, too, as a church, just for being so, having such a heart to worship when you come here on Sunday. Just really coming and pushing through all of the challenges that you have. Honestly, this morning I've been somewhat inundated more so than normal with just difficult situations that many of you guys are in, just in your personal lives. And so I'm just praying on a deeper level that our Lord Jesus would be the life giver. He'd be our source as a church. He would sustain us. He would provide for you, for all of us, everything that is needed in every season that we are in. So I'm just sharing with you the message today from this text, but as a pastor of this church today, on a much deeper level, I'm also concerned about you and just things that many of you are going through, and just believing God. I want to just say maybe to you up front, listen, no matter what, you trust the Lord. I mean, no matter what, you trust in the Lord, and you don't lean on your own understanding. But in all your ways, you acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. He'll make your paths straight. He will do that. That is wisdom for life from God. You could also say that is a promise that I can live out and experience to be true in your life, no matter what you're facing. I like to think of it like this in my own life. Whenever I'm going through any kind of difficult thing or hard thing or whatever, and it's hard to make sense of it, you know, while you're in it, what I know to be true theologically, what I know to be true scripturally and doctrinally, however it needs to come out in my practice, and so I kind of say it like this: he's the God of all outcomes. That helps me. That helps me take what I know to be true in Scripture and understand it in a simple way for what I face during the day. He is the God of all outcomes. No matter how this thing is that I can't quite see how it's going to go right now, he is sovereign. He will ensure that the outcome of this thing is for his glory and for my good ultimately, even though at the time it might not seem like it. But you're already there, right? Matthew chapter 7 this morning. Good. I just want to share a message with you today, and the title of it is this: The Choice is Yours. The choice is yours. All right, everybody hear that? The choice is yours. You say, Bo, what do you mean? What are you talking about? The choice is yours as we look through the verses that we're going to study this morning, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through verse 23. This will make sense to you as we move through these verses, but I want to say to you right up front, the main idea, the heartbeat of this message, what are we talking about here? The choice is yours. Every single person in this room has a choice. Every single person in Brevard County has a choice. Every single person in our nation and world is facing this choice. You and everyone, every human being ever right now must choose either to obediently, did you hear that word? Either to obediently follow Jesus and true teaching. Obediently, that means obey, not just know. Our Lord taught us that through his life. He said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. So you have a choice. I have a choice in regards to the truth and in regards to the person of Jesus Christ and his word to me today in my Christian experience. And those of you that are not yet in Christ, I'm praying today that you will be, that you will choose, you will make the right decision today. But every single person has this choice to either obediently follow Jesus Christ, and I'm adding true teaching, because there's a lot of people who say, I'm in Jesus's camp. You know, we call churches all the time in our community before we pray for them in our services here. Well, just because they maybe say they're for Jesus doesn't necessarily mean they're for Jesus and following true teaching, sound biblical teaching from the Scriptures. It might say they're on Jesus's camp, but like not really, you know? And so every person has this choice to either obediently follow Jesus Christ and true teaching, or it's either obediently follow Jesus Christ and what would be true teaching, or disobediently follow your own path, my own path, and what would be false teaching. So I've got a choice: either follow Christ fully, obediently, by his grace, strength of his spirit to help me to do it. By his grace, come on, everybody say amen on grace, right? I mean, we're not, Paul told Titus, he said, it is the grace of God that teaches us to say no to ungodliness. That's the power of grace in your life. It's not milking something. It's not like, I'm on the grace train, man. I just do whatever and the Lord forgives me and all that kind of thing. No, grace is way, that's not grace. Grace changes me. Grace changes everything. Grace moves me to a place of obedience. So thankful for the grace that has been extended to me, that then that grace has a way of making me, causing me, if you will, to want to obey the Lord, please the Lord, serve the Lord. And it's his grace that's doing all of that in my life. See, we have this choice: either follow the Lord, follow what would be his word truly, or follow our own path and follow what would be false teaching. And I just want to say to us today that choice, it has an eternal impact. So I've been praying for you all week long in the study of this text, just praying that those who maybe think they're in a place with the Lord of obedience and of following him, but if they would be honest when they hear his word, they would see, I've kind of been going my own path. And according to Jesus' words, that would be disobedience, and that would be false teaching. And then those of you that are following the Lord and enjoying your fellowship with him and obeying him more and more, that you would just be even further encouraged to do so. And I trust as we move through this text, all of us will gain a lot from these verses. Verse 13 was where we studied last week, verse 13 and 14, but I still like to include it in the message today as a way of introduction. The Lord Jesus is wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount. We've hit the apex of the message, if you will. We are at the top of this thing, and he is now laying it down as far as it's response time. It's decision-making time. I have said everything I have said, and now it's time for you to apply yourself to its truth, to respond to this sermon, which is the most comprehensive sermon ever. I'll be honest with you, we've been studying this thing for months, and there are many weeks I go home and I just struggle with the idea that I move through it a little bit at a time when he gave this thing in 25 or 30 minutes. But let that be a bit of an indicator to you about how comprehensive this sermon really is. Is that now here we are 2,000 years later, you're using my mind, you're using your mind, I'm using mine, our faculties, we're trying to understand this thing, and man, we can only take this thing a little bit at a time in order to really get it, in order to really get what he was saying and is still saying to us today. But verse 13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate. We studied that last week. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are how many? It's a lot of people on that road. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. And so you must choose today. You must choose. You must choose between the narrow gate that leads to life and the wide gate that leads to death. Leads to destruction. You have to. You've got to choose that. One of the worst things you could do in this place today, I was with someone, I won't say who, it's kind of personal in my life, but I was with this person just Friday, sharing the gospel with them, actually sharing this passage that I'm sharing with you today, sharing it with them, but they're in a very difficult situation. And I was just trying to encourage them in their walk with Christ to personally trust in Christ for their life, for their eternity, and for now, for forgiveness of sins and the hope of heaven. And And I was just sharing the gospel with this person, and it just seemed as though the person had a religious background and could just agree with me. But I knew that this agreeing with me is not the truth of the situation here. And so I've learned to just press in a little more and just ask a little bit more directly questions and helping the person come to a true place of faith and having to take that step and trust in Christ, their need for him, the reality of their situation, their need for a Savior, their sin is real, all these things. And this person just said to me, in their dire state, literally, I'm good. I'm good. Well, and then I leaned in a little further. I don't think you are. You know? And the response is just, I'm good. Just a total unwillingness to really from the, you got to hear me, really from the heart to recognize the Lord. Like, if you're an older person even here this morning, I'm not trying to be cute about the age and the old and the, all of that. I genuinely mean this. Please do not allow what has been the tenure of your life to cause there to be these thick walls up around your heart towards your intimate personal need for Jesus Christ. Keep a short account with God. The more you go, the longer you live, the further you go, and the more experiences that you have, even more so should you cultivate, seek to foster in your own life an intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's real and that's genuine, and I just want to encourage you with that. That's a poor choice. Holland right now, she's not my youngest, she's my next one up. She's in VPK right now, and they teach her in VPK. It's really funny to make red choices or green choices. So it's really fun in the house because Sherilyn did something just yesterday, the day before. I don't remember what it was. I wasn't in the room. Sherilyn did something. She just did something, and Holland just blew up. She said, "Mommy, that's a green choice. That's a green sign or a green choice," she said. You know, you're like, you're making good decisions, Mommy, you know? And you know, it was something small that Sherilyn did, but she was like, okay, wow, you know, that's great. You know, I had no plans to share that today, but boy, it fits good with my message today. It really does. It locks right in, man. You don't want to make red choices. You know what I mean? You want to make green choices. And we laugh, and we need to. We need more laughter. We need more joy, you know, today in the church, in our own lives. We need to draw from the wells of our salvation and really drink up a lot of that benefit that we have as Christians. But this choice thing is serious. You know what I mean? I mean, red choice, green choice, choosing life, choosing death. We're sitting here now, and we're studying the Word of God. This is God's grace to you. This is God's grace to us. This day will be over. There will be a time when all of us will have launched into eternity and we are not here anymore. We're not in the temporal anymore. We will live in the forever. And the choices you make now are what will set the course for you into eternity. And so you must choose between the narrow gate and the wide gate. We talked about that. The wide gate is what leads to eternal death. And the narrow gate, following the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and faith alone, is that narrow road that leads to eternal life. I want to read to you Proverbs 1, 10 through 16, but time is getting away from me, but I share it with you to read that. Proverbs 1, 10 through 16. Psalm 73 is another great chapter to help you see this in the world. That's in that psalm there, Psalm 73, Asaph is the one who wrote it, and he's talking about, it's one of my favorite psalms in the whole book of Psalms. He says, I have seen the prosperity of the wicked, and it just doesn't make sense to me. You know, he's going on and on and on about how it seems like everybody who is lost and everybody who's living according to the world's ways is fat and sleek. In other words, they have such an abundance, and they seem to be doing just fine, and they don't even have any stings or pangs of death. They never get impacted emotionally by anything that's hard. They seem to just be drinking it up and living it up, and everything's going to be fine. But then he says, oh, but then I went into the sanctuary and worshiped you, and I saw the end of their days. And then he says, I'm so thankful that the Lord is my portion forever. Because there is a destiny for those who are wicked, and there is a destiny for those who are righteous. But in Psalm 73, you get to just walk with a man who thinks the same way you do, but lands in the right place. And so I just want to encourage you to read that psalm. It'll help you with what we're learning about here. The second choice that we're going to study here this morning, beginning in verse 15, is that you must choose not only between the narrow gate and the wide gate, but you've got to choose between the good tree that produces good fruit and the bad tree that produces bad fruit. But what are you talking about? I could get, where's Dane? Dane's right there. I could get Dane up here. He could give us a whole botany course on a good tree and how it can yield good fruit and how it's impossible for what would be a bad tree or a corrupt tree to yield healthy fruit, and he could give us the science behind all that. But Jesus is using this analogy just to help us understand something that's very important in the Christian life. He's already dealt with, in a sense, the narrow gate, the broad path. He has spoken to that now, and now he's saying there's another choice you're going to have to make. Look at verse 15. Beware of false prophets. You're like, is this some ancient course church? What are we talking about? Ain't false prophet? What's going on here? Even today, let me just keep reading the Bible before I go on. Beware of false prophets, and notice, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. He says, you will recognize them. Come on, church, I need you to see this. You will recognize them. So, like, wake up. Like, rattle your own cage if you need to a little bit. You will recognize them by their fruits. The words, the minister and the ministry. You'll recognize the fruit that comes from the person. You'll recognize the fruit that comes from the ministry itself. And then he says, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? You go to look for that fruit, that good stuff, the stuff that you know you need and you enjoy. And in this case, and I'll explain more in just a second. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Are figs from thistles or like briar patches? Obviously not. So he says in verse 17, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree or the corrupt tree bears bad fruit. Verse 18, a healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, right? We understand that. It makes sense. Nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit, notice this, is what? Is cut down and is thrown into the fire. Thus, he says it again, you will be able to always recognize them by their fruits. If you want to spend more time on this week, and I encourage you to do so, please study 2 Peter chapter 2. You could just make a note there. But the entire chapter, really? Oh man, you'll spend a while there. 2 Peter chapter 2, so that you can really understand false teachers, false prophets, the motive behind them, why they do what they do, and what does it look like when one is one? What does it look like? How can I identify one? That's a great passage of Scripture that speaks directly to that. 2 Peter chapter 2. But what Jesus is saying here, and we want to make sure we learn what he's saying here in the Sermon on the Mount and verse 15, is communicating to you and me that false teachers absolutely are deceptive. They are deceptive. That's what they do. They major in the deceptive work of deceiving people. And beware of them, the Lord Jesus says. So can we just acknowledge as a church that that is a warning? That is a warning from Jesus to us to beware of them. And there are many who go around professing to be true ministers or prophets speaking for God on behalf of God. But one thing you'll notice is they tend to appeal to whatever is the narrative of the day, use it in a way to exploit their audience, to not give, but to take. And it can be covered They're deceptive. They're deceptive. It can have all kinds of good looking outward looks and appearances and sounds and all of that. And so Christians, the Lord is saying, the citizens of my kingdom have got to be able to identify, recognize false prophets in this world, in this life. And so he's saying here in verse 15, very simply, that they are deceptive. Notice that, how he says it. They come to you in what kind of clothing? Right? Like just sheep's clothing. In other words, they come to you looking like, feeling like, sounding like, smelling like, you know, one of us, everybody else. They just come, but that's how they come. But they are deceiving. Verses 16 through 18, I just want us to be encouraged in the fact that false teachers can be detected. So we're not just to kind of throw up our hands and say, man, you know, they're going to come, and how do I know if one is one, and I'll just hang along for the ride till something bad happens. I don't know, you know. No. Maybe some of you would remember there was this group of people in the book of Acts. They were called the Bereans. The Bereans were a group of people who they were listening to the apostles when they came along, and they were hearing the truth of the gospel and the church being born, and that all of that initial missionary work that was happening, and they were watching it all, hearing it all, seeing it all, and the book of Acts tells us they looked down in the scriptures to see if what they heard was true. So you and I are to be that way. We are to be Berean. And if you're not, this is just an exhortive moment, a time of where you've come to church. I want to encourage you, if you've yet to enter into what is the daily discipline of the Christian life, this will not cut it for you. This message that I share with you on Sunday morning that is meant to teach and preach the Word of God, to proclaim God's Word corporately. It unites us. It keeps us hearing from God together as a church. This is necessary. This is what God wants. This isn't from His Word. This is, we're obeying God when we gather like this and we hear the corporate proclamation of the Word of God. But this is meant to do that. You live Monday through Saturday from here, and you've got to be able to navigate this world with truth. And the way that you and I, God has given us the ability to do that, He's equipped us with the ability to do that, it is with two main tools, and it is prayer, 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 and Bible study. Oh, Bo, you're so old school. It's time for old school. Old school is old school because it's old school. Do you know what I'm saying? Old school is old school because it works, right? It is the initial way that God has given this to us for us to navigate the Christian life. So if you're not someone who's in frequent, and when I say frequent, I just mean communion, fellowship, daily prayer, and the study of your Bible, you're going to be tossed to and fro, unsure of this, not clear of that. Your family will pay the price. You will pay the price. Eternity is at stake as well in all of it. But God, in His sovereign plan, gave us the gift of prayer, to pray with Him, to spend time with Him, to have His will and His mind laid upon our mind and laid upon our will, and me to have space in my days where I'm conformed more and more to the image of Jesus Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit and the reading of the text in my own life. That gets into me, adjusts me, changes me, helps me see false prophet, true prophet, false ministry, true ministry, good fruit, bad fruit. I'm going there. I'm staying away from you. You know, this is the way He's given us that ability. I always check. There's one particular man in ministry that's very popular today. And I always check about every 6 months. I did it on Friday because I had to make this long road trip across the state and back. And so I was listening to all kinds of messages and ministers and ministries that I enjoy drawing from in my own life. And when I have that kind of time, I had the traffic on I-4 was just off the wall. It was just one you know, thing to another. So I was just on there forever. And so I was listening to, I had lots of time. So I was checking even on ministries that I hadn't listened to in a while. And And I always think the best about this one guy. I think, man, I know people say a lot about him, but I think he's just trying to get it done for the Lord. You know, I'm always thinking trying to think the good thing about the guy. And I listened about the first 15 minutes of his message, and he was in Romans, and he wasn't talking about the gospel. He was using the passage in Romans chapter 3 just to really keep what he was saying centered on the person rather than centered on God. And you'd be surprised what a trend that is. That the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God today is more man-centered than it is God-centered. Folks, there's a point in which it needs to come home. It needs to be driven home to our houses, to our hearts. It needs to land in my life. But it starts first revolving around God. This whole thing is about God. We worship Him. We don't worship ourselves. I didn't come to church today to try to extract something from the Bible so that I can get what I want. I came to church today to worship Him because He is worthy of all of the praise. And in all of eternity, I'm not going to be applauding myself for all the things that I did while I was on earth. I'm going to be laying my crowns down at the feet of the King. So this whole thing is what's called in seminary, we talk about it as theocentric. Theocentric, God-centered. Our messages, our preaching are to be God-centered. They're to be the cross is to be what is the heart of it all. The Lord Jesus Christ is to be at the center of it all. It's about Him, and that's one way you can tell. It's not that the person is necessarily 100% a false prophet, but if long and long and long and long and long, all you hear is everything's about you and you and you, and you kind of start to go, man, is this guy answering to God, or is he trying to please me? You know, because I need someone who's on assignment from God. I need to hear the Word of God from someone who truly is surrendered to God as a vessel to communicate His Word to the world today. So false teachers, they can be detected. I want you to just be encouraged by that. And then they, notice we read it in verse 19 and 20, they will be destroyed. So let us just take note of that. That is the truth. They will be destroyed. And we've got great discussion questions for you this week to talk about this in your small group. So I just encourage in your small group life this week as you meet in each other's homes and just all throughout town. I put about 10 or 11 discussion questions in our out to our small group leaders this week to use in regards to this text and this message, and I know you're going to have great conversation this week. It's going to be good, so I want to encourage you with that. And then the third choice today in this text I want you to see is that you've got to choose between what is a genuine confession, the genuine confession of the obedient, that's what I'm calling it, and then a false profession of the disobedient. I need to slow down a little bit because that's a lot for us to digest in this moment. You've got to choose between, and we'll see it here in the verses, what is a genuine, real confession of someone who truly is in love with Jesus, wants to know Jesus, and wants to follow Jesus. And that's you've got to choose between this kind of witness. You've got to choose between this kind of testimony. Is it going to be a genuine confession of someone who is seeking to walk in obedience to the Lord, or the false, instead of confession, more of a profession? In other words, I was thinking about it like this, like how many, you always hear it said like this too, how many professing Christians are there in America today? Oh boy, right? I mean, yeah, I mean, a lot, right? Many. Do you hear that word? Yes. The narrow road and the broad road. There would be many who would profess to be evangelical, profess to be Christian, have a Donald Trump flag, or evangelicals. If you're a Christian, you're a Christian first. This is not popular. I will not get liked on Facebook for this. You understand? This is not how you get... No. This is the truth according to the Bible. The Word of God says first, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're a Christian before you and I are citizens of a particular land in this country or any country that God would have seen fit in His sovereignty to birth us in. But we're here, and so this country ought to be better because of our presence. Love for God, genuine love for God, and seek to obey God and live for God will result in, I do believe, love for the land that you live in, wherever that would be. So here in this land, we are, I believe, the church has an opportunity yet again to impact the United States of America in a very powerful way if we'd stick to the book. If we'd stick to the book. Listen, I love being your pastor, and there's just some things I'm seeing in our world and in the church that these things come up, and I just, it's like, you know what the main thing is right now that we need to have a re-engagement in again, and it is the scriptures. I know you hear it in church because you think that's what they say in church. Read your Bible, you know. No, you've got to get a hold of the very words of God again. You do, I do, in my own heart, in my own life. I need them to clean up my mind again and equip me with His will again. I need the Word of God. I do not know the will of God or the way of God without ultimately the Word of God. And don't believe all the lies and the stuff that you can't understand it. You can understand it. You're a genius. You're a genius. Say, what do you mean? I just mean God has created you in His image. You think He wants to set up barriers by which He could not fellowship with you? Sir, ma'am, you have a mind. You have a heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love Him. He'll meet you there, and He will, I mean, He just pours out. He pours out His truth and His riches in you and through you through just the simple reading and understanding of the Word of God. You can understand it. You can understand it. Remember that Ethiopian eunuch who went to Jerusalem in the book of Acts? He went to worship there, and he was on his way home, and it's like he was just doing it out of some sort of religious observance, and he was on his way back to Ethiopia, and the Bible says that the Spirit of God led Philip right to where that convoy was. We're talking about a guy. It says he was the treasurer of Ethiopia, extremely wealthy, high government official, and he had come to Jerusalem just to worship. He's got some sort of Jewish thing in him that he was following those observances, but he's reading, which is another indicator of his wealth. He had a scroll. He had the book of Isaiah in his hands. That's a really big deal. And he's reading the prophet Isaiah chapter 52 and chapter 53, which is all about the suffering servant prophetically. Some 1,700 years before Christ would ever come, the prophet Isaiah prophesied the entire event. The book of Isaiah still has things in it that are yet to unfold. I mean, wake up. Wake up. Wake up, right? Like, what are you talking about? There's nothing like this book in the world. Nothing. And we wonder, how do I do this? What should I do there? Da, 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 da. Well, oftentimes as pastors, we just ask people, have you consulted the Word of God on it even yet? Oh, I mean, come on, I don't have time for that. I tried to Google a little something. I didn't really, you know, I didn't really find anything online. You know, the honest truth is, as a pastor, I'm very concerned. Oh, my goodness, you know what I think it is? You don't know how. And so that's my responsibility. That's where I come in, and I have to have a commitment to that. I have to have a way to disciple people. I have to have a way to help people study the Word of God for themselves. A lot of people don't even know the tools necessary for that and how to do that, and they just look to the man to do it. Sunday's got its time, but the ability for you to understand the Word of God for yourself is really how you're going to get through the week and through your life. But you've got to choose between what is this genuine confession of the obedient. I left us hanging on the Ethiopian eunuch, didn't I? I left us hanging. The Spirit of God led Philip to get into that, whatever you call that chariot with him. Thank you. And I just want you to hear the key part of their interaction. Philip asks, "What are you reading?" And the Ethiopian eunuch says, well, I'm reading here in Isaiah, but I don't understand who the prophet is talking about. And so he asks, who's he referring to? Who's he talking about here? Because he could read somebody's paying for something here. You read Isaiah 52 and 53, you'll get it. So the Bible says that beginning with that scripture, he explained, keyword, he explained Jesus to him. And after he explained Jesus to him, right there from that passage, can you do that? That's the challenge for modern day believer today. Someone in our community, sitting on a bus, reading something in Proverbs, can you, from there, begin to help them understand the truth concerning Jesus Christ? See what, how important it is that we're students of the Word of God, because people are searching. Don't get it twisted. Don't think that there's a whole other generation of people who aren't looking for truth. There are young men and women in this room looking for truth, and I can't thank God enough that you're here. I'm so glad you're here. You're in the right spot. You're in the right place. This is the right course for you to be on for the rest of your life. Because you know it doesn't make sense what you see happening around you. You know it doesn't, and that's why you're here. But starting from that scripture, the book of Acts says, he explained Jesus to him, and then up out of the heart of the Ethiopian eunuchs, he says, what's preventing me from being baptized? Nothing. And they stopped the caravan right there, got down in the water. Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. By the Spirit of God, it says in the book of Acts, Philip was then transferred from there back up into the Samaria area where he had been doing ministry. And all we know is the gospel did take effect down into Africa as a result of this experience with two guys walking with the Lord in a sense, surrendering to the Lord in a sense, seeking to understand and live out the Word of God in a sense, and whew, continents are reached. Lives are changed. I mean, this is that simple and it is that powerful, yet in the background, when you look at it, incredibly complex. Only the mind of God can orchestrate these kinds of things. Verse 21, back to our text in Matthew 7. And it's what we're talking about now when I say you've got to choose between a genuine confession of the obedient and a false profession of the disobedient. Notice verse 21, Jesus is wrapping up this message. Not everyone. Whoa, hold up, right there. Not everyone who says to me, I'm a Christian. Not everyone who says to me, I love the Lord, or I know the Lord, or I follow the Lord, or I go to church, or I kind of read the Bible, I'm subscribed to a devotional, you know, I not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, someone who says they know me as their Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoa, we have a problem here. Jesus, what are you talking about? These are these verses right here that you and I are looking at, these are some of the most sobering verses in the entire Bible. In the entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation. To hear the Savior of the world, the King of the universe, slain from the foundations of the earth. Everything was made by him, for him, and through him. He is the ultimate. He is the supreme one. For him to talk like this, pump the brakes, let's make sure we're not missing anything. Do you know what I mean? Like if this is the God-man, all truth, the fullness of the deity dwells in him, and he's talking this way, I wanna be submitted to his truth. Whoever says to me, Lord, Lord, not everyone who says that is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but notice the one who what? Who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Amen. So right there we have this separation between those who profess and those who confess. Those who genuinely obey the Lord, and that's their desire, is to please him and to live for him and foster a short, keep a short account with God and enjoy a close fellowship with the Lord, and those who are just doing a religious routine, those who just go to church, those who try to save themselves by year-end giving. Oh, it's time to give. It's Christmas. Now, honey, just cut the check. Just write the check. It's the end of the year. I don't care about all this heart stuff, following Jesus, genuinely obeying. Look, I'm good. Oh. No, you're not good. That's the whole point, is that you're not good. I'm not good. He is good. That's Romans 1. There is not one who is good. None are righteous. No, not one. No, no. And I know you might even from just a wanting to push it off, you know, I'm good, you know, kind of thing. Don't make that mistake. You know, I wish I could save people. Do you know what I mean? Say, really? I know. I mean that in a good way. Like, I just wish I could grab them and baptize them. Do you know what I mean? I want to say, you don't mean that. But you do, don't you? Because that is the truth. You love your sin and you want to stay in it. And that's my concern for the older people get as they live on the earth, is that those kinds of thoughts and that kind of thinking and belief, it starts to really, really settle in, so much so that you start to think the guy who's preaching the truth is just a joke. How can you take that guy serious? I mean, give me a break, man. I'm good. And so the Lord says, who does the will of my Father, those are the ones who are going to be in heaven. And verse 22, on that day, many will say to me. So he, notice he jumped, and we're going to get into these more of end times understanding as we move through the Gospel of Matthew. But here he kind of fast forwards to the end. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. By the way, many will say to me, is the Lord speaking yet again the truth? Many will say to me, if you think you're not going to stand before Christ, you're wrong. The Lord will draw you to stand right in front of him one day. You're going to see Jesus. You're going to see Jesus. But on that day, he says, many will say to me, now come on, didn't we prophesy in your name? Wow, prophesy in your name. Yeah, there are those who speak truth that don't know him. They speak truth. They teach, they preach without knowing him. I was personally shocked at John Wesley's conversion story. But it's how strong, it's a testimony of how strong a religious system can really be. He felt, well, actually, he sought to become clergy because during that day it was lucrative. Being clergy, being a lawyer, being a doctor were the higher income paying jobs. And so he sought to become clergy because that was good. That was a good work. He was already a clergyman and he wasn't converted. He was already a minister and he hadn't met the master. Until you could read the story at Water's Gate, he is hearing someone at a Bible study. Just read the preface of the commentary of the book of Romans from Martin Luther. John Wesley got saved at just hearing a person read the opening comments, the preface of the commentary on the book of Romans from Martin Luther. And just at the hearing of that commentary, the opening comments that Luther gave on that commentary, he says he felt his heart strangely warmed. That's how he described it. It was in that moment that the Spirit of God regenerated John Wesley. The Methodist Church is born. A whole other now sweeping time in church history. The church moves forward in power and, you know, effectiveness because of one guy stepping out of religion and now experiencing vibrantly his own walk with Christ, captured by Christ in his own life. But the Lord, on verse 22, many are going to say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? In other words, there are some who really do a lot of signs and wonders. You can go among their ministries and you can just see what would be amazing things. I mean amazing things. Amazing. So amazing that you know what's lost? The message. The message. None of these guys were martyred and died for moments of signs and wonders and amazement. It was the message. It was the power of God unto salvation. It's the gospel. It's Christ. It's all about Him. But there'll be this group of people who said, didn't we do this in your name? You know, cast out demons in your name? And didn't we do many mighty works in your name? So even, you know, like I said, signs, all of that. We did amazing things. And then notice what the Lord says. Will I declare to them? I never, notice this word. Do you see it in your Bible there? I never what? I never knew you. Like you and me personally did not know each other. We did not know each other. So because we did not know each other, but you did a lot of religious, amazing things, but you and I did not know each other, it's only the Lord who can talk this way. I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Workers of lawlessness. 1 John says that sin is lawlessness. And a false teacher and a false religious system and someone who's more obsessed with all of the amazing signs and wonders than the message itself will be someone who falls ultimately into this category of not truly knowing the Lord. We give evidence that we know Him by our obedience to Him. That's our evidence that we know Him. So, you know, we're here today, we hear this message, we're like, man, this is kind of intense, this is heavy. I mean, how do I know, you know, that? Because sometimes we're like, You ever wonder, like, is it me, Lord? Is it me? And the evidence that you and I are, that we know the Lord and we love the Lord and we follow the Lord is obedience to the Lord. Your life of obedience to the Word of God, to Jesus Christ, testifies, it screams out very loudly, very boldly, that you know the Lord. Someone who doesn't know the Lord doesn't quite care what the Lord says. Do you know what I mean? But a person who knows the Lord is concerned about what the Lord has said. And a person who knows the Lord wants to make sure that their life is in obedience to what He has said. Then the evidence that points in the direction that we do not know the Lord then is by our disobedience. I don't mean to be sad in any way, but I mean, this is a reality. This is something I experience quite often. I hate to say that, but if you know me, you'll obey my commandments, the Lord said. And there are times that I'm sitting with individuals and there's what's coming out. You know what I mean? There's what's coming out of the mouth. And then there's the action that says the opposite. And so how do we conclude this thing? You're like, this is the most depressing message I've ever heard in my life. the way we basically kind of land this plane for us where we're at here is I want to say it to you like this. Stay close to Jesus. And we could go to my house this afternoon and watch some football and talk forever about all the doctrinal positions about once saved and always saved and the two sides of that conversation. And that's great. We should do that. I mean that. We should do that. When the doctrine's off, sin rises. That's why false teachers are false teachers, because they have false doctrine. And you know what comes up through the cracks of false doctrine? Sin and wickedness. And whatever is the truth about them, that's the good tree and the bad tree, whatever is the truth about them comes out because the doctrine's wrong. So how important is doctrine? It's that important. And so we got to talk those things through. We've got to learn together. We've got to Berean this thing. We've got to study the scriptures, you know what we believe. Be able to make a defense for the faith today. Come on, amen? But for you and I just want to land it very practically and very pastorally in your life and in mine. It is just a constant, daily staying close to Jesus. I mean, if it's been a little while since you've sat alone with him, do it. Would you please do it this week? If it's been a while since maybe you need to walk. I enjoy walking the beach sometimes when I really just need to, I mean, really talk to the Lord. You know what I mean? Like, Lord, I got 95 million things here. I, what is going on? You know, like, and I'll walk the beach and just talk to the Lord. Talk to my Savior. Do you know what I mean? Not my religious system, not my, sometimes I just need, and that's where that prayer comes in. Prayer and daily study of the Word of God. But there's that prayer part, just communing with the Lord, fellowshipping with the Lord. Stay close to Jesus. Stay close to Jesus. Dr. Adrian Rogers shared that all the time. He said, he would always say to pastors, you better keep a short account with God. Keep a short account with God. There's no other relationship that's more important than that vertical one. It's eternal. The impacts of the choices you make on this relationship right here are eternal. And then what's amazing, for sure, your relationships horizontally, they'll be impacted as well by the relationship that you have vertically first with the Lord. Father, we've just tried to do our best this morning in taking aside some time in this wonderful worship service that you've given us here as a church. And Lord, as we approach even 2 years of existing as a local church here in this community, may everyone here make the right choice, make the green choice in following you, your Son. And not just a profession, but a confession. An obedient confession of genuine faith in you, in what you've done for us, dying in our place for our sins, and giving us the hope of heaven, eternal life, and a life right now that is meant to be lived to the full. You said, I've come that they might have life and they might have it to the full. God, help us right now to start pushing back on all of the secular that attacks our minds constantly, that so much so makes us doubt whether or not you are real and whether or not you have the ability to give us a life that is more abundantly. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we would ask or think, according to his power that is at work within us today. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. You're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above and more today. And I'm praying that for over every person in our church today, that they would make the choice to unashamedly, obediently, genuinely follow you and live for you, cultivate a life of prayer, and be able to ultimately hear the words instead, well done. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter in. God, you're for us today. You're not against us. You're for us today. Thank you for making it possible for us to enjoy sweet fellowship with you. I pray for your people this week, that they would walk in the Spirit. Is anyone here this morning, you'd say, I want to know Jesus Christ personally? Would you raise your hand right now? I'm not going to be long-winded because we're over time, but I'm going to give you the moment right now to say, I want to follow Jesus obediently, unashamedly. I want my life to belong to him totally. Anyone here in this place want to make that decision today? You'll be making the most important decision of your life, the one that'll have the most eternal impact forever. It will set the trajectory of your life on the direction that is pleasing to God and that is ultimately why you were created, is to know him and to fellowship with him. Amen. If there's anyone who you'd, after the service, maybe still want to make that decision, you just come down front and see us. There's some prayer counselors down here, myself. We'll be hanging out down here after service. We'd love to pray with you. Can we stand together as we leave this morning? Romans 15:13 just says this. I just want to pray it over you today as you go. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and with all peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen. Amen. You guys have a wonderful week as you go. Our bands just kind of play us out as you leave. They're going to be playing a worship song as you go this morning. But enjoy your week, and I'll see you at Growth Track. Merry Christmas. Okay, Merry Christmas. All right. Love you all. Have a great afternoon.